We are back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host. And one more time, I'm going to say, I want to thank our friends over at O'Brien and Levine Court Reporting Solutions for hosting us all week long for On the Record. On the Record is a radio show dedicated to the best of Boston's legal world. That means I have my co-host of Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Thank you, Mark.
Jeff, thank you. It's been a great experience. A lot of energy, a lot of top talent, and our next guest is excellent at what she does, too.
Well, let's learn all about her. Paula Bliss from Kelly, Bernheim, and Delinsky, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Great. So, Paula, why don't you tell us about your practice?
Sure. I have been in plaintiff side practice, plaintiff side mass tort catastrophic injury practice for the past 15, 16 years. And I focus my practice primarily within the pharmaceutical medical device mass tort area. We also work on tobacco litigation, and we also take catastrophic personal injury cases one at a time that are not part of any pharmaceutical or medical device type of mass tort litigation.
How'd you get into this field?
That's, well, you know what, I started law school thinking I was going to work in the criminal field. But while I was working at a, I was clerking for Judge Gantz, co-oping for Judge Gantz when he was on the Superior Court. And next to his courtroom was a trial going on involving a woman who had ingested fen-phen. It was a diet drug. And the trial had started. And I was fascinated by the science. I was fascinated by the legal arguments that were going on. And I went up to one of the attorneys who was trying the case, and I said, I really want to work with you.
Wow.
And I co-opted with him the next summer, and that started my work in pharmaceutical mass tort work.
Interesting. Well, what better way to know what a firm does and the people involved than see them in action?
Absolutely.
And why this firm that you joined?
I joined Kelly Bernheim and Delinsky about a year ago. They are a Massachusetts mass tort firm. There are mass tort law firms all across the country. Massachusetts has a smaller number of mass tort firms, and they're a bunch of young guys with great energy, great legal experience, and they wanted to devote more time and attention to the mass tort practice in Massachusetts, and that's where I come in. I have a lot of experience in the mass tort world, and we have a great fit.
Prior to this firm, you were with a much larger firm, a national firm, right?
I started out at Robinson and Cole. Correct.
Right.
And they are primarily a defense firm.
Right.
And we had a very small practice of about 7 or 8 attorneys that did plaintiff's work.
Right.
And it became a little difficult to sue pharmaceutical companies on one hand and also represent them on the other hand,
correct,
understandably. So we kind of went our separate ways. But the original team still works together, where I'm collaborating with a couple of my ex-partners from Robinson & Cole, collaborating with them on tobacco litigation right now in Massachusetts. And, working very well together.
So the new marijuana law, is it going to affect you? You said cigarettes, and so.
I don't think so. I don't think there's no causal connection between marijuana and lung cancer. And our tobacco cases right now are focused primarily on people who received free samples of cigarettes when they were children in the Massachusetts area in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And now they are at the age where they are developing cigarette-related disease, and those are our clients.
Interesting.
Mm. Sad.
It is sad. I mean, I always wondered, especially in the tobacco litigation, where families of people who were grown adults and they were smoking and then they died and originally they didn't have a lot of luck and now recently they're having luck, but it's like, where do you draw the line? Because again, if you're going to do tobacco, then there's alcohol, then there's other issues, but obviously the free samples, when you give that out to the youth.
Well, I want to add to Mark's question in the way I see it. I'm sorry I'm interrupting him, but we're only going to get you for a few minutes. So let's say my father was given free cigarettes, and he smoked 2.5 packs a day, and I get cancer from the secondhand smoke.
Secondhand, right.
Do I have a connection to that lawsuit at some level?
You might.
From secondary smoke.
Well, the secondary.
Because they say that's more dangerous.
Secondhand smoke is very dangerous. And for those people who have never been smokers and were exposed to a significant period of time of smoke, yeah, absolutely. Your risk increases dramatically. And we are not necessarily working up those cases of secondhand smoke just yet. We are primarily focused on those individuals who received and got addicted at a very young age and now are suffering those consequences.
You know what I was wondering in terms of you talking about youth and is when I was a kid, I would go out of your place with my family on vacation and we would be in the non-smoking section and people were smoking constantly.
At the next table.
Right. It's like right in back and everything like, or right in back of us. And it's like, and
or, it was or like, on an airline.
Or right on the airline. And I would complain to my parents and I would say, Mom, this person's smoking. I said, oh, look, we're the non-smoking section. Here I am as like a little kid. It's like, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. She goes, well, we're in the non-smoking section. Well, the air's recirculating. I'm wondering whether at the appropriate time, you know, again, what all the people. I mean, I never smoked. You know, I'm sure that that secondhand
smoke. Mark's wife took up smoking to keep him out of the bedroom.
That's another story.
I couldn't help it.
That's another story.
That's a podcast.
That's right. That's right. A podcast. But all these cases. I mean, again, and to have a knowledge in this field that you have. Obviously, there's different layers each time. Correct?
Absolutely, there's the ripple effect from tobacco is just massive, and it's not just the United States. It's happening across the country. The number one way of reducing your risk of lung cancer is smoking, and it's still one of the highest rates of disease that is diagnosed year after year in the United States. And it's a problem. People continue to smoke, and there needs to be a lot more education. Massachusetts is fantastic with education, but there are states that don't promote health as much as Massachusetts. So I commend Massachusetts for its anti-smoking.
I think it lingers. I do. I have, you know, we have a staff member in my firm that smokes,
right.
Unnamed.
Right.
And I go out with that person and I say to them, you've smoked. And they'll say to me, no, I haven't, but I did smoke the other day when I was wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
And I'll go, I can smell it. I can feel it. And I think he thinks I'm insane, but I don't. I know I'm not insane. That cigarette stove, it has lingering effects.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does.
When I was in college, I'd be in a classroom and I'd say, thank you for not smoking. And every student would be lighting up. And I would tell the professor because I'm allergic to cigarette smoke. And finally, I did my persuasive speech on why not to smoke. And one of them was, if you ever smell somebody's hair, and I remember looking at the woman that's been smoking in my face, I go, ooh, and she came to me afterwards. But what's interesting is that's the social aspect, and Jeff's talking. Another thing, a byproduct, is all the time that's taken when people now are being forced out of offices, since fortunately it's smoke-free, but the workers that still are out there smoking butts, taking time out of work. So I think
and their lives.
And
right. I mean,
and they're right. Have a higher incidence right. Of sick leave. I'll give you another one before you respond because we'll set you up. I once brought my kids when they were little. We drove in front of the house when I was bringing them home. And I said to them, how much does a pack of cigarettes cost? I parked in front of the house. And I said, now let's go back and multiply that. And I went to different prices since I was a kid. And I said, now add up that price. And I said, what does that add up to? And they said, I don't know. And I said, a down payment on a house.
Right.
Absolutely. that's one of the issues is you know, convincing juries that this is not a choice. There comes a time where smokers are owned by that cigarette.
Right.
They don't have a choice. And by those examples, exactly those examples of all of that money that they spent, they could have bought a house.
Add alcohol to that cost.
Yeah. I've spoken with clients who could have, eaten, but instead they bought cigarettes.
Or lost jobs.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's a terrible addiction, and we are working. We are working on those cases as well as some
Did
other
you ever
pharmaceutical.
Smoke?
Of course I tried when I was and my father smoked.
Right.
My grandparents smoked.
There was always my parents had cartons in the house. They always kept cartons of cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cigarettes in the living room for guests like candy dishes.
It was everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, my parents' age will talk about, you know, giving birth in the hospital and smoking with the doctors.
Oh, yeah. You watch old movies and you see doctors walking into the doctors, you know, into the rooms with their patients with cigarettes in their hands.
Right.
In old movies, it's unbelievable.
My brother and I. My brother's now a very famous asthma and allergy doctor. We used to go in once a year to Boston. And when we're from Providence, and we used to meet with our asthma and allergy doctor, and he brought us in the room, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he said, "Now, don't you ever smoke? It's the kiss of death." Meanwhile, he's smoking. So anyway. So it's a big. Obviously, it's a big, and it's great that hopefully policy can be made, you know, by the good work you're doing in this type of litigation.
I hope so. We do have a lot of clients that are suffering, with their diseases, and so I hope to.
I apologize for monopolizing your time with our cigarette stories.
That's okay.
Both Mark and I are advocates for never smoking, clearly. But we'll have you back on.
Definitely.
Because you're a very interesting attorney. If someone wants to find you at your law firm, how would we find you?
I am at Kelly Bernheim and Delinsky, and that's dangerousproducts.com. You could also reach us by telephone, 617-420-0715.
Excellent.
Thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.